I want to pick up this theme this morning of new life, new birth, and what does it mean? What happens? And we've read about this in John chapter 3. If you have a Bible, I'm going to be speaking from John chapter 3, and particularly the opening verses in John chapter 3, where Jesus says to a man called Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 3, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Yes, Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus, but he's speaking to all of us when he says that. Nicodemus was not some special, unusual case, just Nicodemus alone needed this. No, you and I must be born again, or we will not see the kingdom of God. That means we won't be saved, won't be part of God's family, won't go to heaven, but indeed we'll go to hell and be lost forever. Unless one is born again, says Jesus. Now, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a very religious Jewish leader. Jesus had spoken about the Pharisees in Matthew 23 and said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, one follower. And when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell?" So this issue that Jesus is talking to Nicodemus about is not marginal. It's central. Eternity hangs in the balance when we're talking about this new birth. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, there is a very earnest concern I have as I bring the message to you this morning. And my concern is, I know this message is a very unsettling message. Just like the words of the Lord Jesus Christ are often unsettling to us if we take what the Lord Jesus Christ says seriously. So, for example, the Lord Jesus Christ teaching about the new birth confronts us with our hopeless spiritual condition apart from God's grace. It's saying before this new birth happens, we are spiritually dead, morally selfish, rebellious, legally guilty before God. So when the Lord Jesus Christ says we must be born again, he's saying without being born again, our condition is unresponsive, corrupt, guilty. Apart from this, we are lost. And we don't like to hear that about ourselves. It's very unsettling when the Lord Jesus Christ says to you and me this morning, you must be born again. And furthermore, teaching about this new birth is unsettling because it refers to something that is done to us by the work of the Holy Spirit, not something we do. John has already emphasized this in his gospel when he refers to the children of God born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. Here's Peter stressing the same thing. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again, brought us to new birth, to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." So John and Peter and the Lord Jesus, they're saying, we do not cause the new birth. God causes the new birth. Now we respond to what God has done in new birth, but the issue of new birth is taken out of our hands. We're confronted again with our helplessness, our dependence on someone outside of us. And yet you're told you won't see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. So this is very unsettling. And the third reason this teaching about new birth is unsettling is it confronts us with the freedom of God. If we're spiritually dead in selfishness and rebellion, and by nature children of wrath, our rebellion is so deep that we don't detect or desire the glory of Jesus Christ in the gospel. If we're going to be born again, it ultimately depends on God. And for many, many people, this is a very unsettling truth. And I don't want to cause tender souls unnecessary distress, but neither do I want to give false hope to those who have somehow confused morality or outward religion for true inner spiritual life. It is God who gives spiritual life. And I'm very hopeful that God will do what he says in Ephesians 2, 4 and 5. God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. That God loves to magnify the riches and wonder of his life-giving grace. When the Lord Jesus Christ is lifted up as the Saviour. So that's my trust and my hope. Yes, there is something unsettling about this. It confronts us with our spiritual need before God. But it's also a message that brings hope and salvation. So let's turn to think about what happens in this new birth. And I want to think about it in three ways. And the first is this. What happens in the new birth is not getting new religion, but getting new life. New life, not just outward religion. You see, outward religion talks about trying your best, turning over a new leaf. Outward religion may think about your efforts to reach God. Outward religion may involve good works, which are good, church attendance, giving, benevolence. But the new birth is not talking about something outward. It's talking about something inward. The first three verses of John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, teacher, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So John makes sure that we know that Nicodemus was a Pharisee, was a ruler of the Jews, was outwardly amongst the most rigorously religious people of the day. And yet it's to this one that Jesus says, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Even more personally, in verse 7, Jesus says to Nicodemus, "Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." So what John is pointing us to is that Nicodemus' outward religion, his Pharisaic study, his discipline, his law-keeping, but all of that, put it all together, it can't replace the need for new birth. And in fact, all those things may make even more obvious the need for new birth. What Nicodemus needs, and what I need, and what you need, is not just outward religion, but spiritual life. And the point of referring to new birth is, of course, birth brings new life into the world. Now, Nicodemus is physically alive. He's breathing, thinking, feeling, acting. He's a human being created in God's image. But evidently, Jesus is saying that Nicodemus is spiritually dead. There's no spiritual life in Nicodemus. Spiritually, he is unborn. And he needs not more religious activities outwardly and religious zeal. He's got plenty of that. He needs spiritual life. So what Nicodemus needed was not just outward religion. What happens in the new birth is that new life comes into being. Life that wasn't there before. New spiritual life is connected to new birth. So this is not religious activity. This is not religious performance or discipline. It's the coming into being of new spiritual life. And that's the first way of thinking about what happens in new birth. Not outward religion, but new life. The second thing this is saying to us is that this is supernatural life, not dead religion. This new birth is not just saying that there was something supernatural connected with the Lord Jesus Christ, his birth, his miracles, the things he did. But this is actually saying you must experience something of supernatural power in yourself. Not just out there, but in here. Notice Nicodemus says in verse 2, he comes to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. So Nicodemus sees in the Lord Jesus Christ there's some genuine supernatural activity. He admits the Lord Jesus Christ is from God. The Lord Jesus Christ is doing the works of God. And to that, the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't respond by saying, I wish everybody in Palestine could see the truth of what you can see. No, instead, he confronts Nicodemus and you and me, you must be born again. Seeing miracles, being amazed at them, giving the miracle workers doing these signs credit that that person is from God, saves nobody. This is a danger of signs and wonders, actually. You don't need a new heart to be amazed by them. The old fallen nature can be amazed by signs and wonders. The old fallen nature here of Nicodemus is willing to say, the miracle worker here is from God, he's saying. The devil knows that Jesus is the Son of God and works miracles. No, Jesus is saying, Nicodemus, seeing me as a miracle worker sent from God is not the key to the kingdom of God. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So what matters is not just affirming the supernatural about Jesus. You may say to me this morning, oh yes, I believe Jesus was born of a virgin. I believe Jesus did miracles. I believe Jesus rose from the dead. But I want to ask this morning, have you experienced anything of supernatural power in your own heart and life? It's good to affirm that about Jesus. But this new birth is supernatural. It's something that happens in your heart, in your life. It's not physical. It's not natural. It can't be accounted for by things in this world. There's something supernatural, verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Now, the flesh is what we are by nature, naturally. The Spirit of God is a supernatural person. He brings new birth. Jesus emphasizes it in verse 8. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. The Spirit is not part of the natural world. He's supernatural. Indeed, he's God. He is the immediate cause of the new birth, says Jesus. So when Jesus says to Nicodemus, what happens in the new birth is not just saying, I'm a miracle worker. The supernatural in Jesus. It's experiencing something yourself. You must be born again. In a supernatural way, not a physical way. God, the Holy Spirit, must come into you and bring new life into existence. Think of it this way. If a MI6 are the government agency that deals with foreign powers and spies and all that sort of world. If MI6 said they were going to recruit you to become an agent, a spy in Russia, and they would train you to talk and look and think Russian, they'd send you to school to learn a Russian accent, so you can speak Russian so fluently that a Russian speaker would think you are a native Russian speaker. And they could teach you all about the mores and the ways of life and the habits of Russia. Perhaps even undergo plastic surgery, have your face changed a bit so that you'd look more Russian. So you know all about Russia, and you can speak Russian, and you can enter Russian, and perhaps people would think you're a Russian, and you do everything in a Russian manner. As far as everybody in Russia is concerned, you're a Russian. But would you actually be a Russian? Actually, no. You would still be what you were born, what your race was when you were born. You could have all those outward things change, but you wouldn't be a Russian. You'd be what you were by birth. Now think about it spiritually. You can talk like a Christian, dress like a Christian, join Christian organizations, sing Christian songs, act like a Christian. But none of those things will make you a Christian. Nothing you can do outwardly can do that, can make that change. You have to be born of Russian parents to be a Russian. And Jesus is saying you need new birth, you need something spiritual inward to be a Christian. You must be born again. And you notice here in this conversation that Jesus has with Nicodemus, there's a crucial connection between being born again by the Spirit and having eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. If being born again is the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit, and Jesus announces that again and again, John 6, verse 63, it is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. But John wants to make something else clear, that the Lord Jesus Christ himself is the life that the Holy Spirit gives. The spiritual life that the Holy Spirit gives is in connection with Jesus Christ. It's by union with Jesus Christ that you experience this supernatural new life. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, it's the text that we have written up here on the wall behind me, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life. John says, these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. So there's no spiritual life, there's no eternal life, apart from this connection with Jesus Christ. Faith, trust, reliance on Jesus Christ. In the new birth, the Holy Spirit unites you to Jesus Christ in a living union. It's like the union between a tree and its branches. You're joined to Jesus by faith. In the new birth, there's the supernatural creation of a new life, union with Jesus Christ. That's the objective reality of the new birth. And from your side and my side, how you experience this is that you're made aware of your hopelessness, your guilt, your need before God, your sinfulness. And trust in Jesus Christ to save you, to cleanse you, to forgive you, is awakened in your heart. And spiritual life and faith in Jesus Christ come together. The new life makes the faith possible. And spiritual life always awakens faith, trust in Jesus Christ. So we shouldn't separate the new birth from faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. From God's side, you are united to Jesus Christ in the new birth. That's what the Holy Spirit does. But from your side, you are joined by faith to Jesus Christ. And in that, you see the results of that new birth. Listen to John putting it together in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Whatever has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith, born of God, says John, the key to victory. Faith, the key to victory. Faith is the way you experience being born of God. Or 1 John 5, verses 11 and 12. This is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. So in the new birth, the Spirit supernaturally gives you spiritual life and connects you to Jesus Christ through faith. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who is life. And so you trust yourself entirely upon him. New life, not new religion. Supernatural life, not dead religion. And thirdly, new creation, not improving the old life. So what happens in the new birth is not just an improvement of your old life, sort of turning over a new leaf or making a sort of New Year's resolution. This is the creation of a new nature, a nature that is really you, cleansed and forgiven, but a nature that's new. New life from the powerful, indwelling Holy Spirit. Now, how do we come to that conclusion? Well, in John chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus says to Nicodemus, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." What does Jesus mean, born of water and the Spirit? One of the great, great downfalls of our day is that some people say that water there means baptism. Through baptism, you're born again and you're made a Christian. Millions of people have been taught that their baptism caused them to be born again and made them a Christian. It is a great global tragedy. Jesus is not saying you're born again and made a Christian by being baptized. What is Jesus talking about when he says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God"? Well, Jesus is picking up on Old Testament teaching about what would happen when the Holy Spirit comes. Listen to the prophet Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 36 and verses 24 to 28. Here's God's promise of what will happen in the days of the Spirit. "I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God." The Lord Jesus Christ is referring back to promises like that. Born of water and the Spirit. You're given a new heart at new birth. Now, that doesn't mean that the old person completely is done away with. I was an individual person, Spencer Kenner, before I was born again. And I'm an individual person, Spencer Kenner, after being born again. There is that continuity. But there has to be cleansing. That old Spencer Kenner needed to be cleansed, washed, forgiven. And there was been nothing left over from the past at all, unless that past was washed, cleansed, forgiven. But now there's a new heart, a new spirit, a new creation. There was a need to be forgiven and cleansed. That's referring to water. The guilt must be washed away. Cleansing with water is a picture of that. Jeremiah 33, verse 8, puts it like this. "I will cleanse them from all their iniquity by which they have sinned against me. And I will pardon all their iniquities by which they have sinned and by which they have transgressed against me." So there is a person that continues to exist. And those sins must be forgiven and the guilt must be washed away. But there's also inner transformation. Something happens that's new, spiritual life. It's why Ezekiel speaks about a new heart, a new spirit. "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. The heart of stone, the dead heart that was unfeeling to spiritual reality. Now, the heart before you're born again can feel certain things. It can respond with desire and passion to all sorts of things. But towards the gospel, the truth and beauty of Jesus Christ, the glory of God, righteousness, before this new life, this new birth, the heart towards those things is stone dead. Something has to change if you're going to see the kingdom of God. So in the new birth, God takes out the heart of stone and puts in a heart of flesh, soft, responsive, living, spiritually. So in the new birth, the dead, stony boredom with Jesus Christ is replaced by a new heart that feels the need for and the worth and the glory and the wonder and the splendor and the majesty of Jesus Christ, wants to run to him in faith. A new, warm, responsive, living heart. Like the Holy Spirit coming in and pressing himself into your life so that you have a new heart, new mind, new will. It's a new nature. You don't see a bird swimming, laps in a swimming pool. You don't see a cow dancing in a West End show on the stage. You don't see a pig flying from tree to tree. Why? It's against their nature. And the Bible is saying, you will never see someone who's not been born again in heaven. Why? Because it's against their nature. If you're going there, you need a new nature. And the only way to get that new nature is through new birth. Your first birth, your physical birth, gave you a physical nature. And now you need a new birth, born from above, born again, born from heaven, to give you a new spiritual nature. Which is why Jesus says to every one of us this morning, you must be born again. It's not an optional extra. Don't settle for a maybe or a hope so, or hoping for the best type of salvation. Put your trust in Jesus Christ and you will know so. This new birth is a must. So what happens in the new birth? In the new birth, this Holy Spirit gives you new life. Connects you with Jesus Christ through faith. Or to say it another way, the Spirit unites you to Jesus Christ, where there's cleansing for your sins. And the old, hard, stony, unresponsive heart is replaced with a soft heart that loves, trusts, treasures Jesus Christ above all things. And then is being transformed by the work of the Spirit. More and more a heart that trusts and thanks and loves to do the will of God. And you experience all of this, says Jesus, through faith. This was John is very clear to emphasize the link between all that I'm saying and faith. He who believes in him, in Jesus, is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already. Why? Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So since the way you experience this is through faith, I'm inviting you now in the name of Jesus and by the power of the Spirit to yield yourself, to give yourself, to run in faith to Jesus Christ, to receive him as the sin-forgiving, transforming Savior, Lord, King, treasure of your life. And you can join with me now and pray that as we pray together. So let us pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for the wonderful, powerful work of the Holy Spirit, taking out a heart of stone and giving a heart of flesh. And Lord, for those who have known the wonder and glory of this new birth, this new life, that the Spirit gives through faith in Jesus Christ. We want to thank you with all our hearts, to pray for those who have never yet known the power of new birth and new life, that boys and girls and young people and men and women here this morning and all around us will know the wonder of new life by the power of the Holy Spirit, new life in Jesus Christ. And Lord, for those who have never prayed before to cry out to Jesus Christ for salvation, we thank you that if there's anyone here this morning who cries out in faith, Jesus Christ, save me, cleanse me, forgive me, give me this new heart. I want to trust you with all my heart. We thank you, Lord, that there is no one who prays like that who is ever turned away. We thank you for the gospel, good news in Jesus Christ that welcomes every sinner who comes home and turns to God. And so we thank you. You'll hear our prayers this morning and accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to sing as a closing hymn. But before we do so, Philly, we are glad to see you. We are glad to see you. I didn't spot you earlier, but I've heard that you're going back to the Philippines. Yeah, you must take our greetings and love to the church in the Philippines that you'll be attending there. We must pray for you indeed. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We're going to miss you, though. Perhaps we'll have to come and visit you in the Philippines. Yeah. Yeah. You tell us all that, don't you? Yes. Come and visit in the Philippines.
Yeah, I got a room, spare room for everyone.
Okay. Well, if we all turn up, you may have to build an extension. Yeah. Yeah, we'd be sad to see you go, Philly, but we trust in God will keep you. Yes, indeed. Yeah, yeah. We're going to sing a hymn and then we'll pray for you as well. Now this last hymn, 615, I wonder if you can just put the chorus up for me as well. You notice that there's a little accent on the word believe there. So to fit the words to the music, what we sing is, but I know whom I have believed. Yeah, you've got to add a syllable to make it fit. So if you just sing believed, it'll miss. So sing believed. I know whom I have believed and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against the day. So it's in every chorus. Believed is sung, believed. It's like a way of getting it to fit. So if we go back to the beginning, I know not why God's wondrous grace. We'll stand to sing this together. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you this morning hour for our sister Philly and her family. We thank you that we know who she has believed in. And we too are persuaded that the Lord Jesus Christ will be able to keep that which she has committed unto him against that great day when we must all stand before God. But Lord, watch over her in all her move to the Philippines. We thank you for bringing her to new birth and new life, faith in Jesus Christ. And pray, Lord, that her family may also in this country and in the Philippines experience all of them and know that blessing and God's salvation. Watch over her in that new country now for her, for this remainder of her life. Bless her in every way. And for us all this morning, we thank you that we entrust ourselves into your hands through Jesus Christ, trusting in him. We thank you for that powerful work of the Holy Spirit, bringing the sinner to new life in Jesus Christ, new birth in him. So may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one of us and all God's people this day and forevermore. Amen.